Guys, we're going to jump into the Word of God this morning. I just so appreciate everybody being here today. And I got to admit, some of you may be visiting for various reasons. And listen, if you're new to the church and today you think, wonder what he's going to preach about, I'm going to tell you, we're talking about finances. And that's when all the walls just went up. Because what does the church talk about? Finances. Why? Is it because the church needs finances? No, we're certain a beneficiary of it, but we don't need your finance. The Lord doesn't need your finance because he provides all that is needed. Now, does it come from your generosity? Yes, it does. And so, just disclaimer, we are talking about finances. For some of you, you will be very uncomfortable today. Others of you, you're going to be saying, yes, amen. Amen, because you've seen this play out in your life over and over and over again. And so let's recap last week. Last week we started talking about generosity. And it was very clear, it was made clear to us it wasn't just about money. It was about your whole life. It included your time. It included your gifts, your talent, your resources. Because generosity isn't just something that God wants from you. It's something he wants to develop in you. Who knows that we can always give more and more and more? Some of you are saying, I'm so tapped out on giving, I couldn't give anymore. I'm here to tell you this morning that if you'll allow the Lord, he'll stretch you, he'll take you further than you've ever been, and you'll give in ways that you've never thought possible because you said yes to him. Period. But today, we're leaning in specifically about finances. And I just want to say this up front so there's no confusion. Going to get any tomorrow on this, because this isn't a shift from last week. We're not shifting away. We're actually going to dive deeper into it. We're taking a step deeper into this concept of giving, because if we're honest, for most people, this is the hardest area for us. This is the hardest area for us to trust God in. Is it not easy to trust God when you pray a prayer and ask him to bless your food? But it's a whole nother thing when he's asked you to do something with your resource and it doesn't make sense. The money doesn't make sense. The math doesn't math. Well, I'm here to tell you, if that's you, we're going to speak frankly to you and to everybody in here today. See, we can give our time. We can serve. You can use your gifts. But when it comes to your money, this is when it really becomes real, because it cost us something substantial. And that's, now we move away from theory of giving to stepping into trust and trusting Jesus. And Jesus knew that this was going to be hard for us. In fact, if you have your Bible this morning, open it up to Matthew chapter 6. We'll get there in just a minute. But Jesus knew that money was going to be something that we had a hard time with. And that's why he talked about money so often. Why would the church not talk about money if Jesus himself talked about money? Not because he needed it. He didn't talk about it because he needed it. He talked about it because he knew that it would compete for your heart. And for those of you who know that money absolutely does compete for your heart. And so I need to be clear. Today's not about pressure. Did we have an elevator breakdown this morning? Yes, we did. Do we have a roof that's in shambles? Yes, we do. But this is not about pressure. It's not about guilt. It's not about trying to get something from you. Did everybody hear that? To be clear, this is not pressure. It's not guilt. And it's not trying to get something from you. What this is, it's about asking a simple question. Are you ready for that question? It's going to be so transformative for a lot of you. Are you ready? Who do you trust? Who do you trust? When something unexpected hits, a bill that you didn't see coming, a repair that you had no idea was in the works, something breaks, where is it that does your mind go first? Where does your mind go first? Do you go, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we can possibly make this work. Or do you go, God's going to take care of us? See, the first reaction is that gut response. And I'm going to submit to you this morning that it reveals what you're really trusting, who you're really trusting. And in that scenario, you're trusting in your money. Not, it's not what you say you trust, but it's actually that gut reaction tells you what you actually trust. And we're going to look and see what Jesus said here. It's in Matthew 6, verse 24. It's one verse today. It's going to be super simple to follow along. I've got it on the overhead for you as well if you don't have your Bible. And it says this, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, there's a lot right there for us. Now, what you need to understand is Jesus didn't say it was difficult. Were you trying to tell me something? Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought I saw your mouth moving like I was doing something wrong. My wife keeps me in check, so when I think she's talking to me, my focus just goes directly to her so I can fix whatever I'm doing. So thank you for not talking to me. Listen, during worship, I took a drink of water and my lid went rolling clear back three rows. I'm just a mess this morning, so Jesus doesn't say this is going to be difficult. He doesn't say it's going to be a challenge. What he just described, he's telling us it's impossible. Let's look at it again. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So you cannot serve both. And Jesus is speaking into something that he knows about us. Let's be honest. What is money? Money isn't just money, is it? I don't have my wallet. Does somebody have a dollar? Can somebody give me a dollar really quick? I'll take $3 if you have it. I need to buy a soda after church. Look at that. Thank you, Arvin. He didn't know he was going to be part of an illustration this morning. Either did I, because the Lord just told me to do this. So, what does money represent? Germs. Who said germs? Kelly. Listen, here's what money actually represents. Security. Security. What about control? Money represents control, does it not? Here's a big one. You ready? Money represents peace. Money represents peace. For some of you, this right here, this represents your identity. So money isn't just money. Money is all the things that we use it. And so this is why, Arvin, I'm going to give this back before it disappears. Security, control, peace, or identity, Arvin. That's why it is so powerful, and that's why it competes with God for your heart, period. Because we have put our security, our control, our peace, our identity is all wrapped up. Listen, we just put security cameras on the church. Why? Because we needed security. Why did we need security? Because people were breaking into churches. Guess what it cost to give us that security? Money. Money represents everything in life, and that is why it holds so much power, and that's why it is in direct competition with God for your heart. Here's what I know. Money promises what only God himself can provide. Money promises, let that just sink in for a moment, money promises what only God can actually provide. And that's where the tension comes in. That's where this thing gets hairy, because what money promises, guess what? It cannot deliver. Do we ever want to stop making more money? Has anybody ever hit the plateau and said, you know, I think I'm making enough money now. I don't actually need the yacht. Anybody? You're all lying to me. Nobody is satisfied with where they're making. You might have a comfortable life, but we all want more. Let's be honest. We all want more. We want to do more in life. We have bigger dreams. We achieved these small dreams, and now we got bigger dreams, and now how are we going to do this? We need more money. Money promises, but it can't actually deliver. And that leads us to our first point. Money makes promises it can't keep. Money makes promises it can't keep. Money speaks into our lives more than we realize. It does what I just said. It tells us that if we had just a little bit more, things would settle down. Who's ever been there? If we just had a little bit more. Okay, I've got one person right. Brett, thank you for being honest with me this morning. Seriously, folks, how many of you have said, if I had a little bit more, things would settle down? Have you ever said, if I had a little bit more, we could get ahead? We could get a little bit further ahead. Could it be that if we had a little bit more, we'd finally feel secure? We'd have that security there for us. And if we're honest, we don't just hear it, we don't just think it, we actually start to believe it. And I need to point you to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10, that's in the Old Testament. King Solomon wrote this. And it says this, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This also is vanity." He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. And that's not a maybe. That's not a maybe. He didn't leave that open for interpretation. That's a guarantee. If money is where you are looking for peace, listen, you won't find it there. You will not find peace in your money. You won't find it, period. You can have more, and you can still feel like it's not enough. You can get that big fancy promotion that comes with a better pay package and still feel like it's not enough. Some of you are living that today. Some of you have experienced that very thing. Some of you have reached a place that you thought would fix things if I just got to that dollar amount. Guess what? It didn't. Because money can't deliver on the promises that it makes. Money was never actually meant to carry the weight. It's a tool. It's a tool that we use. It can be a blessing, but it cannot give you what only God can give you. And so when we say we trust God, but what actually settles our hearts? What actually settles our hearts in the moment that things are just breaking all around us? Is it His presence, or is it what's in the bank account? Is it His presence, or is it what's in the bank account? That tension that we just created right there reveals more than maybe we'd like to admit. Money promises peace, but only God provides it. Money promises peace, but only God provides it. If money can't deliver what it promises, then the issue isn't how much we have, it's what or who we trust. And it's, we trust in God. So it's in who we trust. Our just perfectly there. It's about trust. This is about trust, folks. This is, and listen, if you haven't put your walls up yet, I literally have it written here. This is where people start to get uncomfortable. Because as soon as money comes up in a church, walls go up and they quit listening to me. If you're not listening, open your ears, because I think this is important for all of us to hear. And maybe this is just a good reminder for some of us. This isn't about God needing something from you. This was never about God needing something from you. God doesn't need your money. The creator of the universe does not need your money. I need you just to think about that for a minute. He created all of us. He created everything around us. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need it. He's not trying to take something away from you. What he's doing is he's trying to reveal something in all of us. He makes this clear in Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much." Jesus isn't using money as an analogy here. It's not just used to as an illustration. What he's saying, money itself is the test. How you handle it is the evidence of where trust actually sits. Because money has a way of showing us what we actually rely on. It's easy to trust God when everything feels stable. It's a whole different story when trusting Him requires releasing control. Remember that last week? Are we going to hold it and say it's ours, or are we going to open our hands and say, Lord, it's yours, use it how you see fit? That's why Jesus said you can't serve both God and money. Not because money is evil, but because it competes for the same place in your heart. And at some point, every one of us has to answer this honestly. Do I trust God, or do I trust what I can control? Do I trust God, or do I trust what I can control? Giving isn't about your money. It's about your trust. Giving is not about your money. It's about your trust. Our third point, first things first. First things first. Who knows that trust isn't something we just say? It's something we show. Let me just tell a story, because Alicia and I got a dog here a few months ago. We spent amount of money to get this dog trained. We had to go Bass Pro yesterday to work on the things that we need to work on. And we meet this old guy, old military man, haircut, the whole thing, like you can... He's walking with a big German Shepherd. He gives the thing a command. It drops. He throws the ball in front of it. He throws treats on the ground in front of it. And the dog just sits there and does nothing. Our dog looks like an absolute psycho trying to get. And I'm like, this is not what we paid for. So now we're going to pay a little bit, and we're going to go get our dog trained the right way. But the point is, when it talks about trust, this is a military-trained dog. This is a dog that's going to be used in police service, and who knows that those dogs are trained to the uttermost degree of listening to commands to take down criminals and things like that. He hands Caleb the leash, and he tells him to say, Enzo, heel. Caleb walked him clear across Bass Pro from the center aisle, clear to the fishing rod desk, and back, and that dog walked with Caleb the whole way because he was holding the leash, and he just walked, and he walked back. That dog trusted his handler, and the handler trusted the dog. And then a little girl walks by. How old was she? Three? He did the same thing for her and sent her down. And this giant German Shepherd is just the most gentle giant that I've ever seen. How many of us are taking somebody else's German Shepherd walk? If it's not that guy, I'm not taking, because that dog was obviously well behaved. And so what I'm trying to get at is, trust isn't something we just say, it's something we show. And he was basically saying, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And then he showed us, and he knows what he's doing. And so it's showing what we say. And so all throughout Scripture, there's a clear pattern. The illustration worked. I don't know. Maybe it didn't. But there's a clear pattern throughout Scripture that we see. You give God your first, and you trust Him with the rest. And that's where I came with the God does better with our 90% than what we can do with our 100%. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says this. Write that down. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your produce. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say what's left over. It doesn't say what's convenient for you. It says first. Because what's first, what comes first, reveals what matters most. And what are we giving? And if God isn't first in this area, He's probably not first at all. Not because you don't love Him, but because something else is functionally taking the place of where He should be sitting. For some of you, it's fear. It's fear of letting go and seeing if the Lord will be faithful to what He's telling us. For others, it's control. For others, it's just a habit that you've gotten into. can tell you that whatever comes first in your life is what you're trusting to sustain you. And Pastor Scott, who was the pastor here, 2005 to 2015, early 2015, he was the pastor that preached the sermon on tithing that just absolutely wrecked me. And I'll share that story with you privately if you want, because I don't want to repeat last week's sermon. But he held up his checkbook once and he said, I can look in your checkbook and I can tell you in a matter of minutes what comes first in your life by what you're spending your money at. And that time I was getting McDonald's or Casey's or whatever. I worked in the car business and we were constantly eating 12-hour shifts, all of that. And it hit me because although I was tithing, I was not making it first. I was not making it priority. It was what came after everything else. And so whatever comes first in your life is what you're trusting to sustain you. And following Jesus, listen, if you've been here for any amount of time at all, you've heard me say this so many times. Following Jesus is about what? Surrender. Following Jesus is about surrender. It's always been about surrender. And so learning to trust him first, even when it feels uncomfortable, guess what? Surrender. What comes first reveals what you trust most. And at some point, this stops being information that we're trying to understand, and it becomes a decision that we have to respond to. Stacy, if you want to make your way up. So this really comes down back to the same question that I started this with. And that transformative question, who do you trust? Not just what you would say if someone asked you who you trusted, but what your life actually shows when things get uncertain. Because we've all felt that pull to hold on tighter, to rely on what we can see, what we tangibly have in our hands in front of us, to feel secure based on what's in the idea. But if you're honest, it's not your first. It isn't your first priority. It's what's left. It's what's left over. It's what feels comfortable in that moment. Huh? I'm not on. Can you still hear me in the background?
Yes.
All right. I don't care if it's recorded. I just want people to hear this.
Is this better?
How long has that been dead? Okay. Today is about beginning to trust the Lord intentionally. Maybe we do give, but maybe it's not our first. Maybe, like I said, it's leftovers or it's what feels comfortable in that moment that you give. Today, here's what I want from today. Today, I just want you to realign your trust and put it back to God where it belongs. What comes from that is what comes from that. But for even some of you, it's even deeper than that. It's not just a habit issue. It's a control issue. You've been carrying the weight, trying to manage everything, trying to make all the right decisions. It's left you tired. It's left you beat down. It's left you confused about things. And what God is actually inviting you to do today is not about pressure. It's about release. Let it go. Trust him instead of carrying what was never yours to carry in the first place. Because when you begin to trust God in our finances, when we trust God, something shifts. What happens is you're no longer living with that same fear or pressure. You're no longer chasing something that was never going to satisfy you. Instead, your life starts to reflect deeper trust in him. And that changes how you live. It changes how you give. And it changes, quite frankly, how you engage the world around you. And that's the kind of life that we're after. A life that doesn't just say we trust God, but a life that actually lives him. And in doing so, it reflects him clearly as we continue in engaging our community for Jesus.
So we've been asking the question this morning, who do you trust? And I want to take that question one level deeper, because before any of us can truly answer that question about our finances, this one guy... Well, I was going to ask, is this one green?
There you go. We can still hear you, though.
Thanks for coming.
Listen, yeah. I'm just going to say this. When as much has happened as has happened today, it's because somebody in here needed to hear this. I am heartbroken that that elevator is broken down and we had to have two people get and have to make it up the stairs. One is hanging out in the nursery. That breaks my heart as a pastor, because I want everybody in here. I want everybody together. And then technology is just stupendous. It's just the best thing ever. Let's get back to it, though. Who do you trust? If you were to trust, I already made this joke, but it's still true. If you trusted me for that elevator this morning, it's not happening. Because I don't have it in myself to be able to see that through. And if you're sitting there thinking, well, I don't have it in me to see it through, just place your trust in the Lord. And before we can answer our question about who are we trusting with our finances, we have to answer it about something else that is so much more fundamentally important. And it's this: do you trust Jesus with your life? Because that's where this whole thing actually starts. Arguably, the most important thing. And so for some of you today, that's your step. Maybe you've been around the church. You know who Jesus is. But if you're honest, you've never fully surrendered your life to him. You've been in control. You're doing things your way. And today, you know it's time to let go of that and trust him. Here's what Scripture says. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. When I am not enough, that is enough. So that's where all of this begins today. So if you're in that same, I'm in a weird spot this morning. I just feel like at this point, Lord, just do what you want to do, because everything I've tried to do this morning has just utterly failed. The most important decision you can make this morning is not whether or not you'll give, but it's if you'll surrender your life to Christ. So if that's you this morning, let's just close our eyes, bow our heads. I don't want anybody to feel like they're getting called out. If that's you this morning, would you be so bold to respond by raising your hand and just saying, Jesus, I trust you with my life. Is there anybody here that would respond this morning? Come on. Is there anybody else? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Church, I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning. And it frankly doesn't matter if this is the first time you've said it, or maybe you've stepped away and you're re-surrendering, you're coming back to what you know you need to do. These words are pointless unless you actually mean it in your heart. So if we could, let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Forgive me for all of the things that I've done wrong. The ones that I'm thinking in this very moment and the ones that maybe I've forgotten. Make me new. Come into my life and change me. I surrender my life to you from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. We had one person this morning raise their hands. And for the rest of us who are believers, you're not the... There's an opportunity for us to respond to. Because this isn't just something that I want you to hear and I want you to leave and have your walls up and say, I can't believe that pastor preached about finances in the church. I can't believe Jesus talked about finances half as much as he did. Be mad at him. But here's where this response comes. This isn't about anybody else in the room. I don't care what your neighbor's doing. I don't care what your mom and dad are doing. I don't care what your grandkids are doing. This is between you and the Lord. This morning, you might be in here. You know right where you're at this morning. You know where you're at on this journey. For some of you, it's fear. Again, for others, it's control. And for some of you, quite frankly, it's just been hard to put your trust in God in this area, even though you want to. So right where you are, we're just going to take a moment. We're just going to have some silence here for a moment. We can keep playing the piano, but we're going to take a moment and we're going to bring that. Whatever that is, you're going to bring that to him. Be honest with him. Be honest. Tell him what's holding you back and tell him that you're choosing to trust him and to give you the power to do that. Let's take a moment. For some of us, maybe that was enough, what we just did. And I hope that everybody took time to reflect and talk to the Lord in that moment. But for some of us, you know you need to take it a step further. There's something about stepping out. There's something about approaching the altar. Not just thinking about it, not just quietly saying it in your head, but to actually bring it before the Lord this morning. So I just want to challenge you, if you're answering that question today of who do you trust, and you're saying, you're making the decision, God, I trust you, as the worship team plays, can I just invite you to come to the altar? Come and just be in prayer, and let the Holy Spirit do what he does best. Amen.